We actually have a chance to talk to one of my favorite speakers that Oba's ever brought in. I saw her a few years ago, and that's Suzanne Wainwright Evans, also known as the Bug Lady. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
And I just want to assure everybody, the Bug Lady is because of her expert knowledge based on insects, beneficial and pests, not because she's half woman, half insect. Although superheroes are popular.
Yeah, well, there were a few Halloween costumes, which you could question that.
Sure.
I dressed up as insects for Halloween for many, many years.
Oh, that is so awesome. Well, we got a gardening show here. That's what we do. We talk about gardening. And most of our gardening has to do with kind of working with ecology, building systems that help protect your plant. And we do talk about insectaries pretty often. The main comment we get on insectaries, the main question is, what is an insectary? So maybe you could talk a little bit about sort of like what role insects play in gardening.
Okay. Well, technically, an insectary is a place that produces beneficial insects for sale.
Gotcha.
That they actually, I mean, they're basically insect farms. So instead of farming chickens or pigs or cows, they farm insects.
Oh, wow.
Because often in commercial production facilities, greenhouses and nurseries and things like that, there aren't enough native beneficials to control the pests there. Because generally you're growing more in a monoculture situation where a flip to that is like outside in your garden, in your landscape, you have a lot more biodiversity and your pest pressures are actually lower. And so often your native insect populations that are there can help control not all, but many of your pests.
Sure.
So what we do sometimes with those situations for homeowners is we put in plants or we alter the landscape a bit so it is more diverse to attract in those native beneficials to help control your pest problems.
So what are some just of the top native beneficials? And I'm thinking of really the Houston area. And I know that you kind of know the country pretty well, but we have caterpillar problems in the fall and then leaf-footed stink bug problems on tomatoes. And these are two things that like people kind of are always having problems with. What would be something, a caterpillar sort of preventative solution, if that makes any sense?
Well, there's, and the thing is it's tough with caterpillars.
Sure.
Because many caterpillars people want, you know, they want
That's
the
true.
Monarchs, they want the swallowtails, you know, gulf frillatories and things like that. Mm. But if it's a caterpillar that's going to eat your crops, you don't want it. And often many of the beneficials are indiscriminate on caterpillars, whether we want them or not.
I see.
Paper wasps are predators on caterpillars. So if you're a farmer and you have a caterpillar issue, you want those wasps around. If you're growing milkweed because you want monarchs, you don't want those wasps
oh,
around.
Wow.
But the wasps don't know the difference in our perception of what people want and what people don't want. So it's a little tough there because some caterpillars we do and some caterpillars we don't. But paper wasps actually are pretty good meat eaters. I've got lots of photos of them eating caterpillars. There's also tiny little wasps that are about the size of a comma on a piece of paper, and they're called Trichogramma, and those are actually egg parasites to caterpillar eggs.
Oh, wow.
And it's something that does naturally occur in the environment, but commercial growers also do purchase these, especially for people that are dealing with whites and sulfurs in a lot of the crucifer crops, that they'll put these tiny little eggs out, and these tiny little wasps hatch out, and then they'll go and find caterpillar eggs and lay their eggs inside of the caterpillar eggs and eat the inside and stop them even from hatching. There's a lot of research going on in Europe right now at actually using drones to drop these little parasitic wasps out in cornfields
oh, wow.
to control caterpillars in corn production.
That's incredible, and it's like a full cycle thing, it sounds like. Now, on those,
yep.
in the drone scenario, would the wasps stay? Would they naturalize and like be something that you've got protection on for a couple years?
Probably not, because
okay.
it's this. You've got a ratio of you've got to have enough pests to sustain the population of beneficials. And generally, once a pest population drops, the beneficial population drops right behind it in that curve. Mm. And so generally, no. Also, some of the beneficials we use are not native to certain environments, so they're not going to overwinter or they're not going to take the heat of summer. So sometimes they're not going to do it. It's kind of like it's almost like a pesticide treatment, but using a beneficial out there. So we don't rely on them generally to establish.
Gotcha. But well, you're coming in, or you're not coming in. You were going to come in. I think tomorrow was going to be your day.
Yes.
That you were going to come in and present to us, teach us a lot about a lot about this stuff. But you are going to do a webinar for OBA. We've had these successful webinars, and so Suzanne will be the bug lady. Will be on webinar. That is the 28th of May at 5 o'clock, and just go to the OBA website to find out about it. We'll be posting on our website and our Home Show Garden Pros Facebook page. But hopefully in that episode or in that webinar, you'll teach us a little bit about how to kind of build up and encourage the home gardener to encourage those pests, predators, to come around a little more often.
Yes, actually, since I call it being grounded, I'm grounded now for my work. I'm used to getting on a plane every week and going somewhere in the country, either teaching workshops or, solving growers' pest problems. But now with the current situation, I've actually been at my house 8 weeks. So one of the projects I've taken on is I have been buying a lot of plants and seeds for me, native to Pennsylvania, like meadow flowers, because I have 7 acres here, and I'm planting them out. And what I do, and I've done this in the past, is I go out and I just sit and I observe these plants and I see what comes and goes from them. And then it gives me an idea. Okay. Oh, look, I see a lot of decanted flies coming to mountain mint, and decanted flies are a good, beneficial to have around.
Oh, wow.
And so I'll make a note that, this is good for flies, which it's funny because you say flies to most people and people are like, ooh, gross.
Yeah,
but actually,
nice.
A lot of the beneficials are flies, and we need flies around. And flies do a lot of the pollinating, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, avocados are relying on them, as far as I'm understanding.
Yep.
Without flies, you don't really get a lot of your crops. So,
yep.
We do have this crazy current situation that's making us have to do things more on the web and stuff like that. And I know a huge story that's out there that's bug related, and you got to bring it up. But how overblown is this murder hornet situation?
On a scale of 1 to 10, about a 50.
Oh, my God, that's high.
And all my friends now have seen murder hornets in their yard all across the eastern United States.
Sure,
and
sure.
Have been barred with pictures. And it's always either the European hornet or a cicada killer or a paper wasp. And what's interesting is it's that the nest was actually found last year in Canada, and they eradicated the nest. And honestly, I think if the COVID situation wasn't going on right now, that this finding the dead body of one hornet would have just gone completely unnoticed.
Sure.
But I think everybody's dying for any news that's different than COVID news. And I think it's just people ran with it because they're looking for something different to talk about, a bit of a different escape. Because, again, I think if life were normal, nobody would have even – this wouldn't even been a blip in the pan in news at all out there.
Sure. And I appreciate you kind of, bringing a knowledge set and expertise. And we're super excited that you're doing this webinar for us. Again, May 28th, 5 p.m. Put it on your calendar now. Suzanne Wainwright-Evans is going to come in, super knowledgeable. Kids love bugs. Most adults are fine with them, but there's so much to learn and do for and with bugs. So I'm super pumped that you're giving us some of your time.
Oh, well, thanks very much for having me. And I'm sorry I didn't get to get down there because, again, it's been pretty cold up here, and I could use a little warm weather. And, being a South Florida girl, I'm ready for some warm and sunshine.
Well, it's been just gorgeous here. So not to rub that in your face, but you would have come in a real dark and rainy time, so just know that, too. That would have been true.
Well, it sounds like we may work out another time for me to come down, so we'll just arrange for me to come on a sunny time that's nice and warm, and we can go look for a lot of bugs while I'm down there.
That sounds so great. I love that. Well, thanks for chatting today. Look forward to seeing you on the webinar, and, keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you very much, and you have a good afternoon.